Blog Talk
All
Radio.
Right, hello everybody. Welcome to Movie Talk with Vince. I'm Vince. I'm going to talk about the movie. All right, that's right. I'm Vince. We're going to talk about the movies. This week's show, I'm going to give you my reviews on the movie Halloween Ends and Black Adam. And also, I want to go in defense of the movie The Hobbit. The Hobbit trilogy directed by Peter Jackson that has polarized fans since he came out a number of years ago. I want to talk a little bit about them as people are getting ready and already watching the Amazon Prime Lord of the Rings show. I'm going to go back and talk a little bit about The Hobbit. So I'm going to talk about them, give you my opinion. And as I do that, I want to just give out a couple of quick disclaimers. Number one, beware, you're going to hear my opinion. If you're offended by opinions, well, then I don't know what you're doing listening to a blog show. But anyway, that's right, you're going to hear my opinion. And opinions are not painful. They're not going to hurt you. That's just what I feel about what I'm talking about right now. Remember, I can change my mind. If you don't agree with me, that's fine. I don't expect you to. I wouldn't even want you to. I would hope that you disagree with me. Change my mind. And also, remember, I'm going to be talking about movies, which means, spoiler alert, I may reveal portions of the story that you might not know if you haven't seen the movie yet. So I would say, with anything, don't take my word for it. Go see the movie. Check out what I'm talking about. Make up your own mind. Tell me if you think that what I'm talking about is exactly what you think, or exactly what you don't think. Think I'm full of hooey. Whatever. That's me. I'm Vince. So let's go to the movie. Let's have a party. All right. Let's go to the movie. So anyway, so let's start things off with my review of Halloween Ends. So a couple weeks ago, in preparation for Halloween, we got a brand new Halloween movie, Halloween Ends. Now, earlier this week, I did do a show where I did talk about the other Halloween movies, and I briefly talked about Halloween Ends, but I didn't really give a good full review of that, so I'm going to give that right now. So, what did I like about Halloween Ends? Did I hate it? A lot of people did. I didn't. I actually thought it wasn't too bad. It wasn't too great, but it wasn't too bad. So, what I liked about Halloween Ends was that it didn't give you what you expected. It subverted that. It wasn't just, okay, here we go, Halloween yet again. Michael Myers is back. He's going to kill somebody. He's going to kill a bunch of people, and then eventually Laurie Strode kills him. No, it wasn't that movie. It was more interesting because it started, you know, again, a little bit of a spoiler, but I won't give away the ending. Not that there's really any big spoiler when it comes to the ending. But, you know, in the film, we are introduced to a brand new character who is a babysitter, but the kid that he's babysitting dies, and this leads him to go to spiraling downhill. This is actually a fairly interesting story. And like I said earlier this week, my last show, that it is an interesting story, and I do like what they did with it. The only problem with introducing a new character and doing all this in the last part of a trilogy, well, this didn't really work because you don't know who this character is, and you're waiting just for the end. You want Myers to show up. You want to see the climactic ending. You don't want to see all this other story. So what I think would have worked much better is if they had introduced this character in the last film and then ended on a cliffhanger where you see him now with Michael Myers' body. Like Michael had come back, he went on a killing spree, and then this kid helped stop him, and then it turns out that he's now got the Michael Myers fever or whatever. And so then it would have given us more of a backstory for this character, and let us care about him more. But introducing him in the last film, it's an interesting story, and I liked it, but it was a little bit too late because it's like, you're watching all this stuff, and then suddenly it's like, oh, by the way, here's something new for an hour. So too little, too late, in my opinion. But overall, a good story, and it's finally, and it did give you most of what you wanted. It's just, I felt that the pacing was off, and the idea of adding this new character in the last film was just, it just didn't work. So a better planning for the trilogy, I think, is really what would have made that those films work better. So anyway, so overall, I gave Halloween Ends, about an 8. It's not a horrible movie. It's well done, but it doesn't have the scares. And like, as I said, the story is just a little bit too all over the map for it to really make sense and to really make you care about the characters. So anyway, so what else did I see this past week? I also saw Black Adam with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And what did I feel about that one? I guess I feel about the same as I did with Halloween Ends, but for different reasons. With Black Adam, this movie was obviously not a horror movie. It's an action-packed movie, and it is action-packed from the get-go. You get lots and lots of action. So overall, I felt the film delivered what it said it was going to deliver. And overall, the action scenes are well done. It is really, is action-packed, so it's it's never boring in my opinion. I always had something to watch. So it was very enjoyable. My biggest issue with it was that, Halloween Ends, they introduced some new characters, and apart from the Black Adam character, you don't know who these are. So the basic story is, okay, a little bit of a spoiler. We're introduced to the character of Black Adam, played by Dwayne Johnson, who is an ancient character from ancient Egypt. And we find out that he was a villain, but he's been, gone for hundreds, thousands of years. Now he's back in modern day, and the heroes of the day feel he's a villain, so he must be, stopped. And so a new group of heroes go to attack him. And they're part of this society called the Justice Society. Problem is, we're not given a chance to really get to know who the Justice Society is. Now, any comic book fan knows who these people are, and they know that the Justice Society was a group of superheroes that predated the Justice League, but they don't really explain that in the movie. The Justice League is barely, I don't even think you're even mentioned. We just have the Justice Society with these heroes where you're like expected to know. Now, most fans may know that Black Adam originally started off as a sequel to the movie Shazam, because that's where the character was originally created, was in the pages of the Shazam comic book. But they quickly decided to make it its own movie, so I think that all the references to, all the stuff that the Shazam characters were going to do in this film were then now changed to the Justice Society, so this is where they can introduce new superheroes. But again, you never really get a chance to know who these characters are and what their deal is, so when things happen to them and things seem to go wrong for them, you don't care as much. Like with the Avengers films, you had, especially by the time you got to the last ones with Infinity War, you cared about who these characters were. You had spent a decade, watching these people. You knew who these characters were. You cared about them. With Justice Society in Black Adam, you don't know. You don't know who these characters are. You're still kind of confused as to what their superpowers are. And then when things go wrong for them, you don't really care as much. So for me, that's where Black Adam fails. So I'd put it on par with Halloween Ends, where it was a decent movie. It was certainly enjoyable to watch, but kind of forgettable because characters were forgettable. Then, of course, we get the cameo at the end of Superman, spoiler alert, but, of course, that's been spoiled pretty much the day after the movie came out, which to me is like the best part of the movie, and it lasts all of about 10 seconds. But either way, so overall, I would say if you're going to go see Black Adam, definitely check it out. Don't take my word for it. Make up your own mind. And let me know what you think. Like I said, I gave the movie probably about a 7.5 or an 8. It was fun to watch, but not as memorable as it could have been. All right. So now what are we going to talk about here? I want to talk about The Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit. And come in defense of Peter Jackson's film, because I don't think Peter Jackson... I mean, he made some mistakes with the Hobbit, but it wasn't, as disastrous as some people said. So let's take a trip back in time to a number of years ago. Now, originally, as many people may not know this, originally Peter Jackson's intention for The Lord of the Rings was to do The Hobbit first, as it was originally published, and then do The Lord of the Rings afterwards. Originally, it was going to be a trilogy that was The Hobbit, The Lord of the Rings Part 1, and The Lord of the Rings Part 2. I don't think he had ever any intention of doing it as The Two Towers. Probably do it as The Fellowship of the Ring / The Two Towers, and then Return of the King, or The Two Towers / Return of the King. But either way, that was his original intention. It was originally going to be a trilogy with The Lord of the Rings split up into two films, and The Hobbit as well. And I really kind of wish that's the way it had done, had been done, or at least made this, still keep The Lord of the Rings as a trilogy, but The Hobbit as one movie. But then I think fans would have been much happier with it, because The Hobbit is a great story. And Peter Jackson's trilogy, I think, does a decent job of telling the story. The only problem is he throws in too much. The Hobbit is a much shorter story and is not conducive for a second trilogy. And so you get The Lord of the Rings, and The Lord of the Rings is three epically long novels which suit themselves to each be their own movie. And the original Lord of the Rings is, and I know a lot of Tolkien fans have since come out against Jackson's films because there's too much focus on action. I disagree. I think that there's enough focus on the story, and Peter always tried his hardest to stay true to the story, to not venture too far away from the source material. And every time he did get too far away, he cut that and went back to what Tolkien had written. Yes, certain things had to be changed. Certain things had to work because, you know, things that work on the book don't necessarily work on screen. So he did have to change a couple of things here and there, and I'm fine with that. And I think that overall, his Lord of the Rings trilogy is absolutely amazing. So then the problem was, after you follow up something as big and epic as The Lord of the Rings, where do you go from there? Well, of course you do another big epic trilogy, right? Well, The Hobbit is not the right book to do that with, which is a shame because overall, and again, as I said before, I'm going to come in defense of The Hobbit. Overall, the three films are excessively well made and well put together. Now, one thing a lot of people don't realize, or maybe don't remember, was that originally Peter Jackson was not going to direct them. Originally, he had hired a filmmaker called Guillermo del Toro, who he was going to direct them. And I believe at that point, he was going to direct it as two films. And it's a shame that that didn't happen. But things happened behind the scenes. This film got delayed. So eventually, del Toro walked away from the script and the project. So then Peter Jackson came on board. He's like, I guess it's up to me. I guess I got to do it. So he came back to direct. And he and his wife and their writing partner, you know, wrote the scripts again. But once they were doing it, they realized, well, since we're doing this since it's the Lord of the Rings people, let's just make another Lord of the Rings. Again, like I said, The Hobbit doesn't have enough story for that. And case in point, back in the 70s, The Hobbit was originally made into a cartoon film, which I believe was made for TV, and I believe was only an hour long. So it might be 60, maybe 70 minutes in length. I'm not exactly sure how long it is, but it's certainly not 2 hours. It is certainly was just made for one night to be shown on television for kids as a cartoon, and it works. It works very well. If you've not seen the original cartoon, I say rent it. It's, in many ways, it works so much better than Peter Jackson's film, but it's simple. It gets straight to the point. A lot is missing, yes, I will grant that, and it does move rather too quickly in some cases, but it's not bad. It's actually really, really good, and it's a lot of fun. Houston, I forget his first name now. Anyway, he did the voice of Gandalf, I believe. Or no, I think he was the voice of Thor and Oakenshield, the head dwarf. But and overall, you know, the original cartoon film is great. I have to say, you know, that one is definitely like an 8 or a 9. In my opinion. So definitely check that one out if you haven't. Go, you know, pick up the DVD. And it's great. Peter Jackson's film, like I said, for the most part, does work on many levels. The acting is excellent. The casting is spot on. I can't think of anybody better than Martin Freeman to play a young Bilbo. And the actors who played all the dwarves, most of whom were first-time actors, or not first-time actors, at least this is their first big film, they were all perfectly cast, every single one of them. I couldn't imagine anybody else playing any of them, especially Thorin. Gandalf, of course, is, you know, gloriously played by Ian McKellen. The special effects, perfect. The locations, the look of the film, the cinematography, the props, they said the special effects, everything about the movie, it works so incredibly well. It's just they picked the wrong project to do this with. And it would have been so much better if they'd done everything they did. They just did one, maybe two films. And I'll break it down the way I would have done it if I had been hired to direct and was going to do it as – I would have done it. I would definitely think that The Hobbit could work very well as two films. And here's how I would have done it. First, I like the prologue, but the prologue in the original – in his film was maybe a little bit long. I probably would have kept the prologue down to about 5 minutes. This way you get right away the backstory of the dwarves, and you know who they are and why they're going to go off on this mission and why it's so important to them. And also, I would definitely like including how Peter Jackson had done that you see the where the rift between the elves and the dwarves happens, and because all over basically gems. So, you know, the dwarves have gems that the elves want. They won't give it up. So now the elves, so when this the dragon comes, the elves say, yeah, good riddance to you guys. So it shows why the dwarves and the elves hate each other. Yeah, okay, makes sense. So that's all good. Keep that as like a 5-10 minute, maybe not, maybe too long, 5 minute prologue, and then we get into the movie proper. Gandalf meets up with the Bilbo. I kind of like the whole book ending thing with old Bilbo writing a story. That's fine. Then we flash back to young Bilbo. Makes sense. Keep that. The meeting with the elves, with the dwarves at his house overnight, that's fine. And all this should take no more than 15 minutes. The whole meeting and everything, they have dinner, they try and get Bilbo to come, he originally turns him down. So now we're into the first half hour of the film with the prologue and the dinner with the dwarves where they go off and Bilbo finally says, okay, I'll go off with them. This is all within the first half hour of the movie. Peter Jackson, I think, took an hour to do all this. That could have been done in 20, 25 minutes, 30 tops. Now they go off on their journey. Peter also took a long time for them to get to their first stop, which is really the goblins. I would cut straight to the chase. Get to the goblins within the first hour of the first film. So now they get to the goblins. We get to meet Gollum. Bilbo gets the ring. Boom. We're now just only about an hour 15 into the first film. And now he's got the ring, and now we're – and this took about 3 hours for Peter's film. I would do this in 45 minutes. So by the time – so Gollum is probably within the first half hour, 45 minutes of the first film. Now they're done with the goblins. They get out. They see the Misty Mountain in the distance. Like, yay, so they keep going. Now here's where the first film ended at the three-hour mark. And I'm now only in 45 minutes. And the first thing I would cut, which kills me to say I would cut this, but I would cut the character of Bjorn, the man who turns into a bear. He adds nothing to the story. He's exciting. He's fun. It's a great little sojourn, and it works excellent in the book. It doesn't work for the movie because it doesn't add anything to the plot. It's like, what was the point of this guy? Because then he disappears for the rest of the movie, then just kind of comes briefly at the end, and doesn't really do anything there either. So it's like, we don't need him. Cut him. And the only thing he really does is he gives them horses, which they don't even continue using for the rest of the movie. They get to the woods and they say, okay, get rid of the horses. So I would cut straight to the chase, cut Bjorn, go straight to the woods. And I probably would cut the orcs, you know, chasing them down. Or maybe I might keep that in, but have them always in the background. So no real big battle with the orcs. Although maybe I would probably, we know the orcs are out there tracking them down. Gandalf realizes that he has to leave them at the woods, so he does, and they go inside and they're attacked by spiders. Now, here's where I'm sure if I'd want to keep in the necromancer scene. I actually think it is important and it should be kept in. But what I would probably do is they go into the woods, get captured by the spiders, Gandalf meets, and then we cut to Gandalf meeting the other wizard, the brown wizard, And they go, he goes off and gets captured by the necromancer while the other brown wizard goes off to try and get some help. Now we leave Gandalf captured. The dwarves are captured. They get saved by elves who capture them. And that's probably where I would end the first film. So now everybody's captured. How are they going to escape? Second film starts off. Bilbo helps them escape from the elves. Radagast the Brown helps Gandalf fight off the necromancer with the help of the other elf, Elrond, and the other wizard, Saruman, and of course Lady Galadriel, and they all fight. So I keep that scene. I actually like that. That was addition. That was added. Wasn't really in the book, but I actually like that scene. That scene kind of works. Now the dwarves are on their way towards the men of the town. And now we're probably within the first now we probably completed the first half hour of the first, of the second film. They get to the men of the town, and the men of the town say, okay, go ahead. And then they go to the dragon, and don't make that scene so very long, but they do wake up the dragon. They get the Arkansone. Bilbo does his job. The dragon escapes, kills the people of the town, and then they kill the dragon. And now we get to the final hour of the second film, and that's the battle of the five armies. Boom, the battle happens. It's all dramatic. Oh, we are crying, blah, blah, blah. And now the movie ends. So I think two movies is perfect. It's 4 hours. It tells the entire story, and we cut away the fat. We cut away the character of Beorn. I hate to do that because I love that character. And if there was some way I could keep him in, I would probably try to. But I just think that for pacing-wise, it doesn't make any sense. Kind of like why the character of Tom Bombadil was cut from Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings movies for the same reason. He didn't add into the story. All it was the in the book, he's just a place that they stop on their way, and then they leave him, and you never see him again. Beorn, you do see him again, but he doesn't really do anything other than just join in the fight. So maybe I might try and keep him in if I could, but overall I would probably cut him. Just because it just doesn't add into the story. Also, what I would cut, I hate to say this, even though it's done very well in the movie, I would cut the love the love story between the new elf lady, who's not even from the book, a new character, and the dwarf. Beautiful. Peter Jackson does it. It's written very well, but again, it doesn't add anything to the story. And it takes away from the flow of the original book. So I'll probably cut that too. So now I basically have it whittled down to about two hour long films or two, and I probably keep it a 2 hour film, not any longer than that, but not too much shorter either. Because if you do it as 2 90-minute films, then it's almost like the two sections are too short. I think that you need each one of them to be a nice length, so you're not left going, that's it? Well, why couldn't you have just done the whole second half and just make it just one long film? So otherwise, then you would have made it 1 3-hour long film, and it could work in a 3-hour long film, but I think it's better off as a two-parter, I think. I think it would work, especially because you get a nice cliffhanger in the middle. So that's the way I would do The Lord of the Rings. So in defense of it, like I said, I just watched them again, and they do look great. And the acting is amazing. The casting is perfect. Everything about the movie should work. And it's mostly because they just copied everything they did with The Lord of the Rings and did it almost as good. Its serial didn't warrant a Lord of the Rings. So whatever. And like I said before, if you really want to see a version that's probably just too short, check out the cartoon. It's very good. I love it. What the heck is Houston's first name? Anyone out there can remember, can tell me what, John Houston? John Houston. Is it John Houston? I think it is John Houston. Anyway, the original cartoon was great. And that's about it. Just want to say, coming up, if you haven't caught it yet, I know I definitely want to try and check out the new Weird Al Yankovic movie coming up. This premiered this week. If that looks great, I'm probably going to download it this weekend and check it out. So far, the reviews are coming in, and they're saying that it is awesome. Daniel Radcliffe was born to play Weird Al Yankovic, which is shocking considering the fact that this was a kid who we all thought was born to play Harry Potter. But now he's been, now people are going to say, Harry who? Now we all we care about is Daniel Radcliffe is Weird Al Yankovic. So, and there's some other great people in it playing Dr. Demento, and I believe Rainn Wilson is playing Dr. Demento, and I forget who's playing Madonna in it. But anyway, so I'll give you my review of that one next week. Should be exciting. Really looking forward to that. And so just wrapping up my show this week, hoping that you're enjoying it. I would say that overall, like I said, Halloween Ends, not as terrible as some people are saying, but so I say if you haven't seen it, go check it out, make up your own mind, especially now that the bad reviews have come in. I'm thinking that anybody who sees it now would probably end up enjoying it a lot more because they're going in expecting it to be terrible, and it isn't. It's actually really well done. It's just, like I said, the story isn't what people were expecting. And that's one thing I liked about Halloween Ends, getting back to that one, was that it reminded me in some ways of Halloween 3, the original one, produced by Carpenter. What the heck is first? I'm forgetting everybody's first name. I stink. Bob Carpenter. No, that's not it. David Carpenter. What the heck is his first name? My gosh. John Carpenter. John Carpenter? That doesn't sound right. I think it is right. John Carpenter. Anyway, the original Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, which, as I said earlier in the week, that was a film that subverted people's expectations. And in many ways, so is Halloween Ends. But at least with Halloween Season 3, Season of the Witch, they did give you a complete story. This one, like I said, it's adding a new character so late in the game, it's kind of, you're left going, well, who is this? And too much of the story just kind of happens without you realizing what's going on. And again, so my review is, don't check it out. Go check out Black Adam. It's got a lot of action. It's a lot of fun. And if you really need to know who the characters are, I would probably suggest you get your Cliff Notes. And who knows, maybe by the time the movie comes out on streaming services and DVD, Blu-ray, they'll have an extended cut, which I believe there is, and there will be. And maybe it'll give more of a backstory to the superhero characters like Dr. Fate. So you can really get to care about the characters and know who they are. I even had to look up Dr. Fate in the comics. I'm still kind of like, oh, that's who he is. But it's a superpower. I'm kind of confused because the superpower was very confusing in the movie. And then, of course, with The Hobbit, again, I still think that the Hobbit films are good movies, but they kind of remind me in some ways like The Godfather Part 3. The Godfather Part 3 was a decent movie. It's just it followed up two amazing movies, so it pales in comparison, and The Hobbit is the same thing. The Hobbit pales in comparison to Lord of the Rings because the story just kind of drags in places because Jackson threw in too much that was unnecessary. Anyway, that's just my opinion. Feel free to disagree. Anyway, so thank you all for listening. Next week, I will definitely be talking about Weird Al Yankovic and talking about his new film. But right now, I say let's all just go to the movies. And remember, movies are fun. Movies are meant not to drive you crazy, not to, whatever. They're just fun. So in a time like today, especially with the elections and everything else that's going on in the world, sometimes it's fun just to get away. So I suggest get into that theater. Go see some movies. All right. Thanks for all for listening, and I'll talk to you all soon. So many ways.